Good morning. Happy New Year again. One more time. Yes, looking forward to another great year. And isn't it wonderful to be together in the family of the Lord and to be able to share in his abundance? Wonderful to see you all. I'd like us to look at the words that have been prepared for our call to worship. And let's enjoy worship together. May God bless us all this year. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights.
Let us walk in the light as he is in the light, and have fellowship.
Let's all say together, shine, Jesus, shine. Please stand, and we'll follow the leadership of the band. Bandmaster will provide an introduction and lead us in the congregational singing.
Thank you.
Thank you, band. Our next song, as we enter into a time of prayer, is Here I Am to Worship. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Let's enjoy singing this song together as we prepare our minds and hearts for prayer. Light of the world, you step down into You are altogether wonderful, Lord. What an amazing God you are. One who shines that light, that wants to penetrate darkness, that wants to show a way for all of us to go, to be together in fellowship, to work through our differences, to learn to love and accept. Be willing to offer the little bit we have and not be afraid to lose it. Jesus, you're so wonderful. Thank you for a life lived, an example given, a way demonstrated, how you resisted revenge, how you resisted anger, how you demonstrated firmness, and did not accept the ways that the world was going. And how you provided forgiveness, Father, through Christ. How you provided forgiveness so that we can be accepted. We know personally how hard it is to forgive those that have wronged us. And yet you ask us to pray that daily. Father, you did it. You do it. You will do it. We bring before you, Father, all of our personal concerns. So big they are to us, but so small they are to you. But we know you can handle them. Teach us, Father, the lessons we need to learn. May we apply those lessons in our life as we go forward. Help us, Father, to be forgiving people. Help us, Father, to forget the things that we shouldn't hold on to any longer. And Jesus, just be with us each day as we go forward in faith, in confidence that you are with us all the time. Thank you for that Holy Spirit, that wonderful person of the Spirit that comes and is available for us. May we not be afraid to reach out to him, knowing that in your threefold presence, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, you are with us in every way. Bless our meeting, our time together. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you've looked at your bulletin this morning, you will notice that there's a block there that says this week, where all the activities are starting up again. On Thursday, the guys' meeting at 10 o'clock is resuming, but it didn't get into that weekly schedule. So other than that, if you're involved, you're back on duty this week. Tuesday, there is the celebration of life for Jim Mann down in Niagara Falls at the Patterson Funeral Home on Main Street. The service is at 11, visitation will be from 10 to 11. And then on Thursday, the Evergreen meets for the first of 2023 at noon. Major Renee Clark is the guest this month, and just see Donna if you're planning on going. They're asking that you confirm by tomorrow if you are actually attending. And the other one that we want to make a note of in the bulletin, potluck, our first one in almost 3 years, is coming up at the end of January on the 29th. There is a list posted outside. For this one, they've asked that you indicate that you're planning on coming. Doesn't mean that if you haven't signed up, you wouldn't be welcome on that day, but just to give some idea of what's coming. And it is main courses only. Dessert is going to be provided that day. It actually is. Major Feltham is coming back to start on the 1st of February, so it'll be the final Sunday for Majors Roy and Charlene. And the other thing is, please check the mailboxes. There are still a few cards and items in the mailboxes just outside the door. Check before you leave today. And that will be the announcements that are coming up right now. And now as we take up your tithes and offering, let us pray. Lord, thank you this morning that as we've come to gather with others here in our sanctuary, that we will feel the presence of your Spirit within this place, and now that you will accept what we give back to you to be used for your kingdom. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Van. That's a beautiful piece. We're always grateful for the music that is part of the Salvation Army. And our musicians prepare ahead of time for us, and we're so grateful for them and for their dedication. A few months ago, Gwen and Carl played this song as an offertory, and I had never heard it before, and the melody was so pretty, and afterwards I went up to her and I said, "What is that?" And she told me that it was this one. Are any of you familiar with this? Some people? Okay. Well, if you like, I'll sing the first verse, and if you say, "Oh, yeah, I know that," join in, and we'll sing how we do. King of kings, majesty, God of heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty I can but bow. I lay my hope before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, and heaven worship you, love eternal, faithful and true, who bought the nations, ransomed souls, but this sinner near to your throne.
Our Bible reading today is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 1 to 15 and just the first part of 15. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. May God bless the reading of his words this morning. And now I'd like us to look at another Christmas carol, one we've sung already a number of times, and I think we'll enjoy singing one more time. It's got six verses, just to forewarn you, but we'll read one or two of them to give our singing voices a bit of a break. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far. To seek for a king was their intent, to follow the star wherever it went. In verse 4, to the northwest, o'er Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay, right over the place where Jesus lay. Now let's sing verses 5 and 6. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
this song that I'm going to sing is called How Will They Ever Know? And I have tried to find a published copy of this, especially for my long-suffering accompanist, but I couldn't, and I faxed her a very faded copy this week, and bless her heart, she's figured it out. It's called How Will They Ever Know? It's written by Donna Peterson, who's an American, I believe, Salvation Army officer, and it's dedicated to Bramwell Tilsley. I think when General Tilsley was the training principal of the New York Training College. You have given to me all the wonders of your love. You have given me life anew. But for those all around me, I see ones who are dying. How will they ever know? How will they ever know? If I don't have your love to share with another, if I don't have the peace which comes from above, if I don't have a heart with compassion for others, how will they ever know? How will they ever know of your love? All my worries and fears, all my troubles slip away when I think of your love for me. But for those who have still never heard how you love them, how will they ever know? How will they ever know? If I don't have your joy to share, I don't have the peace which comes from above, if I don't have a heart with compassion for others, how will they ever know? How will they ever know of your love? When I go to your children who've never known your name, when I show what your love can do, when they see in my life all the love you have for them, it is then they will know. It is then they will know. Lord, I pray for your joy to share with another, and I pray for the peace which comes from above. May I have a warm heart with compassion for others, then they'll forever know, then they'll forever know of your love. Amen. Would you like to stand with me and we'll pray? Lord, we are recipients of your love. The light has dawned in our lives and made a difference. And so we pray. As we think about Epiphany, that we will become lights in this world for others, that we will show them through us your love, your joy, your peace, your compassion. Let it be so, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, as my husband reminded us, today is January the 8th, and it's the second Sunday of New Year 2023. Do you remember 2000 when we all thought our computers were going to crash and the world was coming to an end? I remember that clearly. Show of hands, how many of you have already put away your Christmas decorations? Show of hands, who hasn't yet? Ah, oh, there's a few of us still hanging on to the season. Well, you might have been asking yourselves, why did we have yet another Christmas scripture reading this morning and sing one more Christmas carol? It's because of Epiphany. This past Friday, January the 6th, is called Epiphany, and some of you on your calendars might even have the little word written in that square. Epiphany with a capital E is an important date in the church calendar because it's on that day that the church remembers and commemorates the visit of the Magi to the infant Jesus. But why is it called Epiphany, and what does that word mean anyway? Well, Epiphany with a small e is not easy to explain. When you look it up, there's a lot of complicated words that are used. So are you ready? Here we go. First meaning, an appearance or manifestation of a divine being. Second, a sudden revealing or understanding of the essential nature or meaning of something. Third, an illuminating discovery or realization or disclosure. So have you got it? You can share it with others right now? Here's the best I can do to make it simpler. Have you ever heard or used the expression, I had an epiphany? Yeah. Well, what do you mean when you say it? You mean the light went on. I got it. I saw the situation in a new way. And there's a sense that this light has come from outside of yourself, as though it's been given to you, and you've finally been able to understand and receive it. And there's one other further sort of idea connected with Epiphany, and that is when you say, I had an epiphany, you mean that because of this, you're different. You make changes. The truth has dawned on you in such a way that it affects your life. This is the meaning of Epiphany with a small e. The church chose this word to remember and commemorate what happened to the Magi, the wise men. Let's go back to our scripture reading, if you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. And we'll understand better what God might be saying to us this morning in 2023 through this account. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." You know, I think sometimes we are so familiar with these Christmas stories that I fear we lose sight of just how amazing they are. We don't always appreciate the miracle that was taking place. This star sighting and journey of the Magi took place during the Roman Empire over 2,000 years ago. Now think about it. There was no electricity. There were no telecommunications. There were no satellites. There were no motorized vehicles. Nothing, right? Distances were far, far greater. Countries and cultures were way more separate, and races much less likely to mix. And yet one day into Jerusalem came this group of foreign wise men who had traveled hundreds, if not thousands, of miles, kilometers from the east, asking to be shown the new king of the Jews. What? Let's take a look at maps from that time to appreciate the scale of the journey that they had taken. Now, you know, it's kind of far away, but do you see those two arrows? There's a yellow arrow that points at Israel, and then one that points to the Gulf. I just wanted you to see that first. This is the Roman Empire at the time of Jesus' birth. So that we can appreciate the next map. So let's take a look at the next map. Oh, it's faded. It's not, can you see it? See the star over in Iran? That's where scholars believe the wise men came from, okay? And they traveled all that way to Israel. It's astonishing when you think about it. What a journey. And remember what modes of transport were available back then, right? Camels, feet, not a whole lot. What a journey. How did this happen? Because in the course of their everyday lives, way over there in Persia, while at their hobby or perhaps their occupation as astrologers, they noticed a new star in the sky. And as it blazed above them, some remarkable new understanding lit up their minds. Something new and astonishing was revealed to them. They had an epiphany. They came to believe that this star had appeared for a reason. That reason was the birth of a king. Not just any old king, a king of the Jews. Now, friends, had they even heard of the Jews? Did they know where these Jews lived? 2,000 years ago, way over there. And this is where the story gets even more amazing. The Magi's were convinced that this new king was very special. He had warranted a star, hadn't he? Because when they come into the town, they say, "We have seen his star in the east." They came to believe that this baby king of the Jews was so remarkable that to see him would be worth the journey of a lifetime, worth the time, worth the expense, worth the danger, worth the risks, and even more. They were convinced that once found, the only proper response to the king would be to bow down in worship, which is how you treat God, and present him with priceless gifts. Now do you get a sense of just how amazing this occurrence was? How can you possibly explain it? Well, there's only one way. This verse occurs in the Bible four times, a couple times in the Old Testament and a couple times in the New Testament. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God revealed his son to the Magi. He broke into their foreign culture and minds to reveal the birth of his son. He gave them an epiphany. And the visit of the Magi shows us God at work in the world in the most surprising way. You know, this should give us encouragement to realize what God has done and what God can do. In Isaiah 42, verse 16, we have this great verse, God promising, "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. Jesus, during his ministry, said, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Do we believe it? That God is always at work? When we look out in this troubled, broken world, when we look at the lives of people around us, do we believe it? Frederick Buechner is an author, and he says, "If there is anything in the world I believe, it is that God is indeed doing all kinds of things in the lives of all of us, including those who do not believe in him." I want to share with you this morning two true contemporary examples of God at work. Anne Lamott is an author, and she shares her story in the book Traveling Mercies, Some Thoughts on Faith. At the age of 30, she confesses her life was a mess. Though a published writer, she was an alcoholic and drug user, and she moved from one relationship to another. One night, a week after having had an abortion, she went to bed and she describes herself as so shaky and sad and wild. And she writes, "I became aware in my room of someone with me, hunkered down in the corner. I knew beyond any doubt that it was Jesus. I felt him as surely as I feel my dog lying nearby as I write this. I felt him just sitting there in the corner of my sleeping loft, watching me with patience and with love." This presence was real to her, so real to her all through the next week, that a week later she committed her life to him. "My Father is always at his work," Jesus said, "to this very day, and I too am working." A second example. His name is Lu Zhenying. And in 1974, he was 16 years old and living in a traditional farming village deep in communist China. Due to his family's poverty, Liu had had little schooling because all hands were needed in the fields. Tragedy hit his family when his father got cancer. And Liu writes, "As her husband lay dying, my mother heard a very clear and tender, compassionate voice say, 'Jesus loves you.'" An epiphany. More than 30 years earlier, she had met a Christian missionary and learned about the love of God. But the communists had come and taken over the country, expelled all the missionaries, and mercilessly persecuted any Christians they found. She had long since forgotten all she had heard and believed. But when Jesus spoke to her that night, she gathered her children around her, gathered them with their father, and told them that Jesus was his only hope, and led them in prayer. Within a week, her husband had completely recovered with no trace of cancer in his body. And Liu and his four siblings came to a profound belief in God, and along with their mother, deep into rural communist China, they founded house churches in their region. Is God still at work? Absolutely. You know, God not only reveals himself to people, but he makes himself known through people. The Magi's response to their epiphany revealed Jesus in two ways. First of all, their arrival in Jerusalem was just about the best public awareness campaign for the birth of Jesus as possible. Did you notice what verse 3 says? When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, how did this happen? You know, so many of the Christmas card images we have depict these three lone wise men sitting on their camels in the middle of the desert, following a star in the night sky. Now, friends, I got to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. People of their wealth and prestige would have required a whole host of servants and camels and equipment and tents and food and guards to have made such a long journey. Far from traveling alone, they would have formed a whole caravan. And it was this entourage of travelers that showed up in Jerusalem one day, impressive in number and appearance, and obviously foreign. They started asking everyone they met, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, how long do you think it took for this news to get around town? For everybody to be talking and asking, "Star? Did you see a star? New king? What king? We saw his star in the east. What are they talking about? And what's Herod going to think when he hears about it?" The proverbial grapevine was at its most effective. And before you knew it, the news had reached Herod. He and the whole city were confused and disturbed. Had Jesus been revealed through the Magi or what? Now, here's an interesting thing. Did you notice what Herod did when he first heard the news? He called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Now, what in the world prompted Herod, this worldly, corrupt, secular leader, to connect dots and think that this new baby might be the Messiah? That, I think, is another epiphany. God revealing himself to a most unlikely person. Through the Magi, their epiphany, which resulted in their trip to Jerusalem and their eventual audience with Herod, the whole city, the main religious leaders of the day, and the region's political leadership were made aware of a special birth. It would be many years later before the grown-up Messiah appeared on the scene, but when he did, many would still be alive who would remember that visit of the Magi and their claim that a new King of the Jews had arrived in the world. God revealed himself to the Magi, and God revealed himself through the Magi. This story challenges us to ask ourselves, is Jesus' existence revealed through me? Are people aware of him because of the journey you are making through this life? Are we shining like stars, pointing the way to him? Are people curious or even disturbed by the things we say? Matthew 5, 6 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And in Philippians, Paul urged those early Christians to shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Are you, am I, an epiphany for those around us? Lastly, the second way that the Magi's response to their epiphany revealed Jesus was this. The wise men who brought gifts to the young Jesus were the first Gentiles to acknowledge him as king. Their worship proved that Jesus would be far greater than the Messiah to the Jews only. He had come to be the Savior of the world, which is good news for us because we're all Gentiles. Now, interestingly, this account of the Magi's visit is only found in the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew was the gospel written primarily to the Jews. But at the very beginning, we have this claim that Gentiles would come to worship him too. Truly, this celebration is rightly called Epiphany, because the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And so we ask ourselves this morning, has the light been switched on for me? Have I had that most important of all, epiphanies? Has the truth dawned in your life in such a way that you're changed and you're embarked on a lifelong journey to find, to seek, to worship, to experience the Savior for yourself? And lastly, can Jesus be seen in you and in me? With God, nothing is impossible. Amen. He is at work in the world to this day. He reveals himself to people, and he reveals himself through people. He is the Savior of the world. Let us join the Magi in their journey of obedience, discovery, and witness. And we have a song that we're going to sing, and as you sing it, you'll see that we're asking the Lord to reveal himself to us, but always, not just so that we can keep this wonderful experience to ourselves, but always so that we may share it with others. I pray that as you sing this and really look at the words, you'll realize that God has blessed us to be blessings. He has appeared to us so that through us he will appear to others. Let's sing this together. Lord, I pray that
thank you.
I think you know that I am a caregiver for a 93-year-old lady. And also this week, I started to visit a gentleman who's 81. And when I was at the residence where my lady lives, I noticed a gentleman sitting in his wheelchair at the top of the balcony that overlooks the entrance to the facility, and just watching people come in and out. And something prompted me to say hello to him, and I learned that he, in June, lost his wife of 70 years. 70 years they'd been married. And he is so lonely and so missing her and grieving. And I just had a chance to stay with him for a little while and talk. And again, the Lord impressed upon me so many people need some attention and are lonely and need to know that somebody cares. We need Jesus with skin on to sit by one another and be his love, his epiphany of love to others. So I pray that we will ask the Lord to open our eyes to ways that we can show love to others. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourselves to those wise men. You put a star in the sky that they noticed, and you gave them an understanding, an epiphany, that this meant something huge. Lord, thank you that they were willing to respond to what they had come to understand, and they were willing to take the risks and the time and the money and the danger to travel following that star to find the Savior of the world. I pray that you will inspire us afresh to realize just how amazing you are and how you continue to move and speak to people today. Help us, Lord, to be willing to take the journey to worship you, to take the journey to visit others and share your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our last song is The Light Has Come. This is a great song. Let's stand. Is there an introduction? There is not. Okay, we're just going to start right in. Our benediction and then sing verse 3.
Began our meeting with the song Shine, Jesus, Shine, and close our meeting with this thought from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Go forth this week in the strength of the Lord and bring light to everyone you meet a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of the glory of God in your smile, in your presence, in your reminder that life is worth living, and each one of us has value in the eyes of our Savior. Let's sing the third verse together.